Welcome to Mystery Bible. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. We have been looking at the Exodus for the last several weeks, and we are going to continue looking at this particular incident. We are studying it from different sources, if you will. You guys that have been at this channel, you know that we incorporate other sources outside of the Bible. We looked last week's podcast, and we saw that the children of Israel had a meeting with God before Moses went up into the Mount Sinai to sit down with God and get some additional information. And we've seen that this information that he's going for is to try and to reprogram the children of Israel, because they've been living under the program, if you will, of the Egyptians for several hundred years. So God has called this people. It tells us in the Bible that he had separated these people for himself. And when we look at other sources, it tells us that the Torah, if you will, was offered to other people, the Gentiles. When you're looking at the legend of the Jews, there's a part that talks about how the Gentiles refused the Torah. And I include the legend of the Jews in my study because I think it's a necessary a tool to look at to get some additional insight from traditions of the particular people that we're studying from, and which is the Jewish people. So they give us some insights about that. In the book of the Legend of the Jews, there is a excerpt that talks about how the Gentiles refused the Torah. It also tells us that the children of Israel, it was offered to them, and they accepted it. And once they accepted it, this is how it began to initiate into all generations through a particular people. And I've been trying to educate us, myself as well as I study the Word, that it's a microcosm of a big thing that we are looking at when we look at the children of Israel. We're seeing the natural stuff within the children of Israel, and we're going to take some stuff out of the book of Jubilees, because I want to go in there today, because they have some additional insight as to stuff that Moses received other than the Ten Commandments that most people talk about in concerning Mount Sinai. So there is a lot going on there in that encounter that God had brought him up there for this particular conversation, but also it was a serious meeting, because God had told him, before they started this journey, God had told them this, and we remember that when they got before Pharaoh, they made the statement that, hey, God had said that he wants to have this conversation with us in among Sinai. So they're here, the people are camping outside, and God had given them instructions as to how to behave on the outside as he is heading in to and up to the Mount Sinai meeting. Now, we talk about that Shekinah glory, the glory of God, that when handled incorrectly, when we are not prepared for it, we can die. And we saw that in the reading of last week's information. So we read most of chapter 19 and 20 of the Bible, and we saw that specific instructions was given to them as they began to move aside and prepare. And we'll see later on that these people did not, they did a lot more than what they were supposed to do, as we are, looking at this particular incident. As I said here, this is very important in Jewish history. It is also very important in world history. Very important meeting. There's so much in here that it would take volumes and volumes of podcasts to deal with it all, and we can't do that. About the tabernacle, about the customs, about the festivals, about their clothing, all of those things we're going to just talk about, but we can't go into the deepness of it here. because we are just walking through the Bible, as I said, and we are in Exodus. And what I wanted to do is incorporate Jubilees into our discussion. We started some of it yesterday, I mean, the last podcast, but I wanted to continue about that. And I've tried to explain to the people that the Bible houses quite a few things about these people, Israel. It history, their future history, past history, then their principles of God and how he wants them to behave, all mingled within Bible manners and custom. I remember studying that in Bible college. But let me start in chapter 1 of the book of Jubilees, and then we are going to see some additional stuff that I wanted you guys to see and get some insight as to what was happening there at that Mount Sinai meeting. And we saw from last time that in the book of Jubilees, they are very specific as to the dates and times and months and so forth. And I mentioned to you guys several podcasts, I think, before, that the book of Jubilees break down the history of mankind in Jubilees, in groupings of 50 years. A Jubilee is 50 years. And according to the calendar that we know, and the book of Enoch talks about this calendar as well, and they have it, it tells us that 2025 is the last Jubilees, which is the last 50 years before the end of this age. And we talked about that. And that's a coming time, but that's a serious time as well. So we know that according to the book of Jubilees, it says, and it came to pass in the first year of the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt. This is the first year that they were in the third month, on the 16th day of the month of Anan Mundai, that God spake to Moses, saying, come up to me on the mount, and I will give you two tablets of stone of the law and of the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So we see the purpose of the Ten Commandments. It's a teaching tool, and a tool of instruction that will teach us how to behave towards God and how to behave towards ourselves and how to behave towards mankind. And so we see that he has been called up, and he says, come on, and Moses went up into the Mount of God, and the glory of the Lord abode on Mount Sinai, and a cloud overshadowed in 6 days. So there are 6 days if we use our imagination so we can see what's going on at this mountain. And it tells us, he called Moses on the seventh day out of the midst of the cloud, and the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a flaming fire on the top of the mountain. And we, in Christendom, we know about this particular encounter where he tells him to take his shoes off because this is holy ground and all this different stuff in the first meeting. You remember that first meeting that they had? And so he's familiar with the flaming fire routine because he has been there and have seen this before. So I'm sure he's just chilling, and he's not overwhelmed by anything that he's familiar with this, if you will. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And God taught him the earlier and the latter history of the divisions of all the days of the law and of the testimony. So God himself is teaching him about the early days and the latter history. So he's getting a lot of information as to everything about us and mankind, and that's why we read in the Torah, the Bible, from the Jewish perspective, their Bible talks about in the beginning God created. And so he was gathering all of that information while he was there in Mount Sinai. So, and he said, incline your ear, your heart, to every word which I speak. I shall speak to you on this mount, and write them in a book in order that the generations may see how I have not forsaken them for all the evil which they have wrought in transgressing the covenant which I established between me and you for their generation this day on Mount Sinai. And thus it will come to pass when all these things come upon them, that they will recognize that I am more righteous than they in all their judgment and in all their actions, and they will recognize that I have been truly with them. So God begins to lay out from verses 7 in chapter 1 of the Jubilees about the things that they will do. And let's take a brief look into that. And said, "And thou will write for yourself all these words which I declare unto you this day. For I know their rebellion and their stiff neck before I bring them into the land which I swore to their father Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, saying, unto your seed will I give a land flowing with milk and honey." So God knows them. There's a scripture that talks about how God knows the intent of the man's heart in Hebrews. And every time I read that scripture, it rings loud in my spirit that we are all naked before God, because the Bible says that he knows the intent of the heart. And so if he knows the intent, he knows the reasons by which we do the things that we do. And he saw that these people were a stiff-necked people, but God had made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he, the Bible tells us that he never breaks his word. He can't break his word. And I've said this before. If God breaks his word once, that means that this whole universe will unravel, because it was his words that created what we read in Genesis, as he's telling Moses to write down. It was his words that created or recreated the universe. And it was word that his word that created the universe, because it tells us in Genesis chapter 1:1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And then when we look at Job, Job tells us, we get a picture of what was happening when Jesus was creating all those things. It tells us that the sons of God were singing and stuff like that, and they were marveling at the creation of the earth and the foundation of the universe and all those different things, and they were seeing it. So as we are reading all of these accounts of what was happening, the book of Enoch actually gives us a little more insight than the Bible and all these different things, as the Torah, right? We're talking about the Torah. These other sources give additional information. And the book is called the Little Genesis. Jubilees is called Little Genesis. So we see that God now begins to lay out the case as to how corrupt the people were, but that he would keep his commandments based on his word to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And while he begins to lay out the behavior of the children of Israel from verses 7, it goes all the way down to 24, I think it is, when it says, "And they shall be called children of the living God, and every angel and every spirit shall know you. They shall know that these are my children, and that I am their father in the uprightness," regardless of how bad we are. God is our father. He still declares that he is our father, as crazy as we are. And so that is it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall famine," and all this thing, whether we're in hell and all this thing. So we know that we can't be separated from the love of God. But I keep telling you guys, be very careful how we treat the Israelites as far as the world and the leaders of the world and different things, because we see that this is God's people, and because it's his people, that he will deal accordingly with anyone that is coming against them. And as we go through the scriptures, we'll see that there's a tribe, a group of people, when the children of Israel were moving, heading towards the promised land, that they refused them water, and God revisited back and come and dealt with that people several generations later. Because again, he's a father. He says, "And they shall be called children of the living God." And that's how a lot of nations at the time around them knew them, as the people are the children of God, and they treated them differently than any other people as they were moving forward in their life, if you will. So we see that this is what's going on there. God begins to lay out everything. He says, regardless of their behavior, I am still their father and they're still my people. And that is some comfort within that. So now let's take a look and at 25. And do thou write down for yourself all these words which I have declared unto thee on this mountain, the first and the last, which shall come to pass in all the visions of the days, in the law and the testimony, and in the weeks and the jubilees unto eternity, until I descend and will dwell with them throughout eternity. Now verse 26, and he said to the angel of the presence, write for Moses from the beginning of creation till my sanctuary has been built amongst them for all eternity. And the Lord will appear to the eyes of all and shall know that I am the God of Israel and the father of all the children of Jacob and the king of Mount Zion for all eternity. And Zion and Jerusalem shall be a holy city. And the angel of the presence who went before the camp of Israel took the tablets of the divisions of the years from the time of creation and from the laws and the testimony of the weeks of the jubilees according to the individual years, according to all the numbers of the jubilees, according to the individual years from the day of the new creation when the heavens and the earth shall be renewed and all their creation according to the powers of the heavens and according to all the creations of the earth until the sanctuary of the Lord shall be made in Jerusalem on Mount Zion and all the luminaries be renewed for healing and for peace and for blessing for all the elect of Israel and that it thus it may be from that day unto all days of the earth. So there is coming, guys, as we talk about this year of jubilees and so forth, it is very important that some major events are happening. And we know that coming 2025, that I'm sure there is going to be some serious shifting within the world concerning this because of such an important time upon this planet. There's several wars that have to happen before that. There's all kinds of things that leads up to the Antichrist coming, because remember, he has to come 7 years before the end of the millennium age begins, because Jesus comes, rapture is called a rapture, the taking away of the church. How do we know this? Because when we read the book of Enoch, before the judgment on the planet with the deluge that the Nephilim were seeing and dreaming about, God said that he will take away his people out of that before the judgment. So everyone, that's God's pattern, if you will. The Father will remove his children out of that. Now, after all those men began to die, Methuselah was the last one, and then because he was preaching with Moses, with Job, for several hundred, 200 years about that this flood, this deluge is going to happen, and this flood is going to take place. And after that day, when the day came and it was time, it says around in the book of Enoch that there were hundreds of thousands of people in front of the ark begging to open the door, and Noah told them, you guys had 200 years, I'm sorry, I can't, you know, I didn't close the door, I can't open it. So it is the same thing Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. People were given in marriage, and all those type of stuff. And that's what's going to be happening within the time frame when it's time for the taking away of the church, or we call it the rapture. And the rapture was a terminology that, you know, they put to that, but that's not what it was called. Back in the day, God said he was going to remove his people out of that, and then the judgment would happen. And so he will do the very same thing. And that is this coming of Jesus Christ to take away. The scripture tells us that we will meet him in the air and we will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. Our body will be redeemed, meaning that we'll have an eternal body. We know that our soul also will be cleaned up, if you will, and we'll look like him, be like him, and all that type of stuff. And look like him as far as the material, but if we look at Jesus Christ, they recognize him. So he's going to look the same. We are going to look the same. It's just that our bodies will be redeemed from the curse, and our soul also will be redeemed from the curse. So the curse will be off of us. We will look and be the same, but we will be definitely changed. So that's what that is. And so the Antichrist is coming. That's 68 is when the removal of the church comes. And the Bible tells us that the reason why God is removing his people is so that people could be saved. People will see it and recognize that this has to be that event, and this is God, and God is true. And God said that many people will be saved within that seven-year period. And so that seven-year period, many is going to come to Jesus Christ, and many will be persecuted beyond their dreams, because again, they're going to be here when the son of perdition is here. And the Bible teaches us that 3.5 years, that 7 years, within 3.5 years, he will bring peace to Israel and all of the Arabs and stuff like that with the Mount. They're going to have the two-state solution, because the Bible tells us that they're going to do that. And once they have that, it tells us then that within year 3.5, the children of Israel, the priests and all that stuff, they're going to resurrect many of the old festival and things that we will read about here, the red heifer, the killing of the red, all of that stuff is in place today. They have all of that today. And so all of those things are going to be instituted again. And it is going to be in 3.5 years within that the son of perdition is going to go into the temple. The temple will be reconstructed, and he will say to the world that all of you must worship me because I am God. And so when he does that, I believe that's when the remainder of the people that are here will see his true identity as to who he is and his purpose, because he knows that his time is limited, because after that, 3.5 years is up, Jesus comes, the world is going to be coming against Israel, that war in Armageddon. And when they come, the Bible says Jesus is going to show up, they're going to break through the world, they're going to almost conquer Jerusalem, but that's his city, that's God's city, and he said it's not going to happen. And so he's going to come down, but then tells us that the posture by which Jesus is going to be coming down is not the posture that which we read about how he is today. He's coming down with a vengeance. He's coming down to judge, because what he is about to do is he is about to institute a new age, the age of or the millennium age, which is going to be for 1,000 years. That's when Lucifer and all the angels are going to be bound and all that type of stuff for that 1,000 years. And then there will be peace on earth. So all you're going to have people on the earth that are not born again when Jesus is here. You're going to have those that are born again and so forth. But you will have peace and reign for that 1,000 years. And then it tells us that Lucifer will be released and he will cause havoc again. And that's when we are moving according to God's timeline towards the great white throne judgment, where the Father now is every spirit, every soul, it tells us, has to have an appointment with him to explain what we have done with our life on this planet. What have we done with, because he tells us even the words that we speak will be used against us. That's why he said, why is that so important? people don't understand that our words are what we believe, and what we believe is faith. And so whatever we believe, we will speak it into existence. And when we do that, we either judge ourselves, or we either put ourselves in bondage, or we will free ourselves. So the words that we speak, because it tells us that the words have power, death, and life. And so we will be judged on how we utilize the power of death and life in this age and in this time, all of us. The first judgment is for those that are born again, because they are going to be, remember that famous phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Well done in what? Every one of us have an assignment, and I've been telling you, Moses had his, Aaron has his, Miriam has his, everyone. So that Pharaoh had his. God said he put him there to harden his heart and all this type of stuff to judge the gods of Egypt. Everyone on this planet has an assignment, and so we will be judged accordingly, and then one is rewarded by them. But then we have to come before the Father of all spirits and give an accountability of what we have done, because he placed us here for a purpose. And what we do with that time and how we behave with our actions and confession is what he will judge us for, from, because he said, I will judge you according to what you do and say and act. And so he's going to bring, and we know from studying the Word of God that we have angels that are taking an account of all of us and writing their books that will be open. You know that there is a book of life and all that type of stuff. And all of these different books are there, and we will be looking for our names, and all these different things. So there's an event coming, and it's coming pretty soon, guys. If, as I mentioned to you, the Book of Jubilees is correct, we're about to walk into the last Jubilee, which is 50 years. So as we look at this encounter with Moses up in the wilderness, we see that there's Mount Sinai. See that there's an angel was there making notes as well. And so let's take a look at chapter 2 in the Book of Jubilees. And the angel of the presence spoke to Moses according to the word of the Lord, saying, write the complete history of the creation, how in 6 days the Lord God finished all his work and all that he created, and kept Sabbath on the seventh day, and hallow it for all ages, and appointed it as a sign of all his work. So the Sabbath is a sign of God's work. And we know what his works are because we read it in the book of Genesis. Let there be lights and so forth. For the first day he created the heavens, which are above all the earth, and the waters, and all the spirits which serve before him. See, the angels of the presence and the angels of sanctification and the angels of the spirit of fire and the angels, all of you, of the spirit of the wind and the angel of the spirit of the cloud and of darkness and of snow and of hail and of force and angels of voices, thunder. So the Book of Jubilees goes into a great detail as to all of what he had created. And that's why I tell you guys that Lucifer and all these angels were created by God's word. He spoke them and they became into being. Jesus Christ is the Father, it is the designer. Jesus Christ is the one, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so all things were made by him, and without him, there was nothing made. Very specific terminology, made. The Father planned, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ goes out and make things and put it together. The Holy Spirit is the one that came in, breathed life into mankind. And man became a speaking soul. So the gift that God gave to you and I is our soul. And so that soul is unique to you and I. And that is why when we are separated, we read in the Old, in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ, they were talking about Lazarus and when they went to hell, their body was still up on the earth, but their soul went down, and then he was asking for water and all these type, put a dip the water on my tongue and all that stuff. And he said, so he had knowledge, he had his faculty, his thinking and all his ability, and he, his reasoning were all there with him. And that's parts of the soul. So I, this guys, I mean, we're in the last days, man. You know, I know it sounds like a cliche, but we're in the last days. And so all of this information, Moses is being given to him about how God created the heavens and the earth and the angels and all of the different luminaries and everything. The book of Enoch talks about some of these luminaries, and some of them rebelled against God, and some of them are held in special locations to be dealt with because of their rebellion and all of these different things. And so yeah, there's a lot of data out there that we haven't touched as Christians, quote unquote, because the church at the time hid a lot of the information from mankind, so that from the church, from the body of Christ, so that they can control them and not give them the all the tools necessary for them to become disciples, because they weren't interested in them becoming disciples. As I said, many of them were desperate to have them as members so that they can collect and extract money and everything from the people. So it tells us that this Sabbath day was created as as a sign. Verse 31, it says, and the creator of all things blessed it, but he did not sanctify all people and nation to keep the Sabbath thereon, but Israel alone. Then all he permitted to eat and drink and to keep the Sabbath thereon on the earth. And the creator of all things blessed this day, which he hath created for blessing and holiness and glory above all days, that is the Sabbath. This law and testimony was given to the children of Israel as a law forever unto their generation. So we see here, guys, there's a lot happening within that mountain, if you will. It is released. God has trusted the angels to inform Moses. He's writing stuff down. Remember, he's there for 40 days, 40 nights, collecting data. And then once he collects the data, he's going to then come down to the people of Israel to bring all this data to them. And then we are going to see some of the stuff. We know about all of the commandments that God gave to them, and what it is. The commandments is about behavior, changing behavior, and instituting new belief system. And so we know that that's what it's about, instituting a new belief system, and also about changing behavior. And so once they come down, as Moses is going to read, he's going to be coming down from this mountaintop experience, and then he's going to walk in to a big mess, that a big party that was going on in at the mount, the foot of the mountain. Man, that is so crazy, really, how we all are. But what it stated, the golden calf incident, to me, shows how ingrained our programming is from the world, the kingdom of darkness, because the programming comes from the fall of Adam, but it also incorporated into our soul and our flesh. And the Bible tells us that on top of the things that we have to deal with Lucifer and evil spirits and demons and all of that stuff, we have to contend with, we also have to contend with the fact that our soul is corrupt. We also have to contend with our flesh being corrupt. But God said the purpose of all of that, if we educate the soul, give him the data, your word I've hid in my soul that I may not sin against you. That means that if we instill the data in our soul, we will be able to control the body. We will be able to not live and fulfill the lusts of the flesh, as the scripture says. So But I just want to bring to you guys, this is so serious, man. I know everyone thinks that time goes on forever or whatever, which it does, but our time here is limited. There's some things about to happen in the earth. There's a great shifting, man, that is happening. You can see it, feel the intensity in the shifting, and it's the preparation for this advent of this man coming. But within that, also there's the advent of the church leaving. And when he leaves, when the church leaves, Lucifer will have total reign and dominion over all the people here, except for those that God will protect, because the Bible tells us he's going to protect his own. And, you know, many of them will be slaughtered and all of those things. But the Bible tells us to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And these guys will have a white robe. They will be dressed a little different than all of us because of what they will go through. And I want to admonish all of you, man. This thing is real. It's not a joke. It really is not a joke. I mean, we read about the Bible and stuff like that. I have a lot of people commenting at the site, some of the darkest comments I've seen from people about things. And I want to instruct you guys. This is serious. It's not a joke. You may feel it is a joke, and but you know, time will tell who is going to laugh, and that's what it is. And I choose to believe this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I choose to believe Jesus Christ, his work that he has done, the Holy Spirit. I choose to believe it. That's my choice. What is your choice is your choice. It's yours. Hold on to it and die with it. Don't belittle someone because of their choice. Celebrate your choice. Is that your choice? Then celebrate it. But our, you know, we want to talk about our Father and how beautiful he is and what he has done for us through Jesus Christ and what the Holy Spirit has done for us. Now, if you choose to abandon your gods and follow our God, because we desire that, but also God, the true God, he desires that also. And so, but it's still your will, and you will have to decide what you're going to do. And there's nothing wrong with it. And not because someone has a different point of view and belief when it comes to God means that you have to belittle them. You have to call them name. No, you have your belief. I have my belief. And you're welcome to not listen to it, and you're welcome to become a part of it. It is your choice. And so I want to welcome you to get to know God and know him personally. This is a personal thing. It's not my pastor can do nothing about this one. This is all about me. Because remember Jesus says, he said, when people were coming to him, Jesus said, I am the door. Okay? If he's the door, no man comes to the Father except through me. So that means if he's the door, if he's the literal door, then Jesus will know every one of us who has come is going through that door. And so there were a couple of people, according to the scripture, showed up at that door. And they said to him, Jesus, didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I heal the sick? Did I do that? And he looks at them and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. And so he knows everyone that is presenting to that door, whether you are like that one, he knows, because he says, I don't know you. And then the ones that he did know, he says, welcome thou good and faithful servant. Why? You're faithful in the work, your assignment that you've done. So he is the gatekeeper or the doorkeeper. He is the door itself. He's the way by which we come in. So if he's the way by which you come in, he will know everyone and where they belong. And so I invite you guys to get familiar with Jesus Christ, the door, and so that when that happens, that you will be welcome into that place that he stands guard and be a child of God. So we're going to continue next podcast. We took a little sidebar, I know, but I wanted to show you guys that there was a lot going on within those 40 days and 40 nights, not just the tablets that he came down with. He came down with the Torah. He came down with information. He came down with the history of the world. He came down with the future information about Israel. He came down with a lot of data. He was coming down with the data was there to change our behavior and to inform us about who we are, who God is, and instruct us in many different things. And we're going to take a look at them as we go through in the upcoming podcast. But I want to thank you guys for growing the channel. I see it growing, and I am so appreciative of all of you, man. This is a partnership. I thank you so much for working with me and growing it with me and sharing and participating. I do welcome all of you. And those of you that are hurting, we are all hurting, man. Everyone is hurting. And so I welcome you, all the ones that are in pain, that the Bible says God is close to those who are brokenhearted. You have a brokenhearted. He says in the scripture, come, let's reason together. Let's have a conversation. And I want to remind you guys that he's available through Jesus Christ. And once we show up, the Bible says he will meet us there. And so I want to encourage you guys to show up, because he's telling Moses, let's come up. And so he's doing the same thing to you and I. Come up. He tells Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? I want to talk to you, man. You're my man. You're my creation. Where are you? And the question, I believe, is still a part of humanity. Where are you? And I hope that you answer that question and say, here I am. I am coming. Let's reason together. And he tells us in Isaiah, though your sin be as such and such, I will do this. I will do. There's an exchange that happened so that you can begin that conversation and that relationship as to who he is and what he can do for you on in behalf of you. The Bible says you have to believe that he is God and that he is also a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. I want to thank you guys for coming and following me here. Again, I'll pray for all of you, and I thank you for you and your family. And we are here, guys, to simply learn who we are so that we can become effective and change this world.